Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for coming to the session. So today I'm going to talk to you about three things. The first being the evolution of attention and the attention economy that we all live in. The second one being brands and how brands are moving into virtual worlds and how they're capturing more attention than ever in those worlds. And then the third, a small little bit about Geek and what the company I work for and I founded does. So let's get started. I think this is a really interesting image because it basically just reminds us all that we live in an attention economy. And every day, every brand is trying to capture your attention. Now, if we think about the evolution of attention and how that's changed over time, brands and businesses were kind of limited to print, TV, and radio. And there were certain gatekeepers that owned those audiences. If you were a fashion brand and you wanted to get in front of a fashion audience, you had to speak to Condé Nast to go into Vogue magazine and reach that particular audience. That type of attention is quite passive. And then there was this sort of huge moment in the mid-2000s where social media started to come up and digital started to come up. And actually, the gatekeepers who owned those eyeballs changed as well. So we moved from sort of Condé Nast, Viacom, Comcast to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. These were the new gatekeepers that owned that attention. And it was no longer just passive attention. It was more active attention where actually it's not just reading a magazine, but you could go onto social media and double tap and like and share. So at Geek, we believe that there is now an evolution of attention and eyeballs are starting to shift and have started to shift again. And that's in virtual worlds, typically what we know as gaming environments. But as those eyeballs start to shift into those virtual worlds, so do the gatekeepers. So it's no longer Facebook that you need to speak to get in front of these new eyeballs. It's now Roblox. It's now Fortnite. It's now Rectrum or Sabeto. And if I think about 5 years ago when I started this company, Geek, one of my clients was Facebook and they were looking at gaming. And I kind of asked them why they were doing it. And they said, the problem, Charles, is people aren't just going into games to play anymore. They're actually going in to socialize. And if we don't enter this space and we, Facebook, own digital social, we're going to get disintermediated. Obviously, 3 years later, you saw they came out with Meta and they're giving it a good go, spending quite a lot of money doing it. So if we think about attention, sort of what is the metric that is being measured? Well, it's really time spent. And now there's this kind of battle from the old world and the old gatekeepers against this new world who has traditionally started in gaming, but is rapidly moving into social. And if we're talking about Gen Z, I mean, I think the word that everyone says is TikTok, where Gen Z hang out, TikTok and Snapchat. But if we actually look at the data in terms of time spent, it's Roblox that's actually the top one with 180 minutes a day. Then it's TikTok. However, you know, 3 trillion views a year in TikTok is gaming video content related. Then it's YouTube. But then over 100 billion hours is gaming content on YouTube as well. Then you have Fortnite, Minecraft, that's Instagram, which is the millennial platform, I suppose. And then Twitch, a gaming live streaming platform. So if we look at where time is being spent, a massive amount of time is being spent inside these gaming platforms. And they're not just going in to play, they're going in to socialize. These are the two stats that are really quite interesting. And I think, as marketeers or agencies among us or brands, and we're thinking about time spent, you know, you look on social media and if you're doing a branded content campaign, you can look at the average time spent in those campaigns. If you're creating an experience inside these virtual worlds, you look at the average time spent, it completely blows it out the water. And we're seeing this really interesting convergence right now happen, where actually you have those traditional social gaming platforms that are quite solitary moving into social gaming like Fortnite, into something like Roblox, which is actually 3D virtual communication. But then on the traditional older gatekeepers with regards to Meta and Snapchat, you're starting to see them bring in things like avatars. You're starting to see Meta come out with Horizons Worlds, and they're converging to this middle point. And then even when we're looking at direct-to-consumer websites, we're starting to see that they're actually creating 3D websites now and building virtual stores. So let's just focus in on these 3D communication platforms, these social games. What is the landscape? If we think about the landscape for social media, there's sort of five big social media platforms that will be available to brands to advertise in. Inside virtual worlds, the first thing you want to look at is the player base, the number of people who are spending time in these platforms. Roblox has now 300 million monthly active users entering that environment. And then you have Minecraft followed behind with Fortnite, The Sims. Quite interestingly, you would have all known during, I suppose it was the lockdown period and the rise of crypto and NFTs, Decentraland Fashion Week was a big thing. You know, you had the Sandbox, which, don't get me wrong, these are great platforms. But I think a lot of the brands started going into these environments looking for press and PR, and were not actually looking at the data behind the time spent inside these platforms and the number of people inside these platforms. So Decentraland and Sandbox, in comparison to Roblox and Fortnite, it's completely different. You know, brands have been getting involved in gaming for quite a long period of time, 30 years. This isn't actually nothing new. But there's been a fundamental change, and I'm going to tell you the difference between how a brand traditionally gets involved in gaming to how a brand gets involved in gaming now. Now, an old partnership, you would have to partner with the game developer, and that creates quite a high barrier to entry because there's only one person building your environment in that game, and it's up to the developer to decide who goes in. This creates longer lead times. The activations are very temporary, so they're campaign-based. You're going in to reach Pokemon Go players, of which there are 80 million players around the world. I know it's kind of strange that Pokemon Go is still huge, but it is. But you don't really own the audience, and therefore it's not scalable. Something happened around 5 years ago where there was this new generation of gaming platforms that weren't single-player, solitary, one developer. They were platforms very much like in traditional social media that were user-generated content focused. So Roblox isn't a game, it's a platform that allows users to create environments in their platform. And what this does is it creates a lower barrier to entry because you're not dealing with one developer. There is an ecosystem of content creators and developers that brands can work with in this space. It also leads to shorter lead times. It leads to persistent experiences. A Roblox experience inside that platform is the same as having an Instagram profile. The only difference is the content delivery is 3D instead of 2D. And you can own the audience as well. This makes it scalable. And you're about to see some data in this presentation, which shows you the rapid growth of brands entering these environments. Gucci was our first client. We're incredibly lucky to get them when we first started back in 2019. And they are a brand that is incredibly advanced in this space. And I think we first put them in Roblox in 2020. But the way they look at this space is they absolutely have a strategy for these traditional social media platforms, but they have a very similar strategy for these new emerging platforms. And like I say, the marketing funnels are the same. They don't treat them any differently. It's just one is 3D communication and the other's 2D communication. One has 1.6 seconds worth of engagement on average from viewership. The other has 11 minutes. And we can see this when we look in the data. This is another one of our clients, H&M, where we've actually combined all of their social channels together on the top graph and their single Roblox experience on the bottom graph in terms of time spent. And every single month, you can see it's Roblox that is actually beating all these other platforms in terms of engagement. Apart from May, I think there was some sort of fashion show that happened then, but still. So it's not just Gucci and H&M, but all of these brands are now building 3D virtual communication channels inside multiple platforms where they are holding users and expressing their brand values in ways they couldn't possibly do using traditional social media. Okay, so I think we're at a stage where, you know, there's a huge hype cycle, a metaverse hype cycle. You'll notice I'm using the word virtual environment. It's basically the same thing. But actually, there was a lot of brands going in, and I think the objective was very much press and PR in the early days. It's kind of, we want to look innovative. But that's gone now. You know, if a brand goes into these games, I don't think a press article is actually going to come up, because so many brands have gone into these environments. So one has to ask oneself, what is the value? I've spoken about time spent, and we'll talk about the bottom of the funnel in a bit. But this is a survey done by Gen Z's most loved brands, fashion brands. I think it was the Business of Fashion that came out with this particular report. And we can see here that if we overlay the number of activations that these brands have done inside these gaming environments, there's a direct correlation between Gen Z's most loved brands and speaking to those audiences where they are. It's pretty simple. You know, if you're advertising in Vogue magazine, by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. There's an audience that's going to read that. But you're not on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, and advertising in those spaces. You're missing a massive, massive audience. And what's really exciting is, I think the funnel inside these platforms, the traditional marketing funnel inside these platforms, has started to evolve as well. So really, if we think about the consideration stage, when we first started putting brands inside these environments, that was the only thing a brand could do. They could create a virtual experience and have, wow, we can have a million people go in and they spend 11 minutes each. That's fantastic. But as these platforms have evolved, Roblox, I think 2 weeks ago, announced their immersive ads program, where actually you can now do direct video advertising inside these environments. And really exciting is kind of bottom of funnel. So this isn't just about kind of brand awareness and brand love, but actually, how can we sell assets inside these items and generate a new revenue stream through digital goods? How can we use this audience and start to generate emails for our CRM? And I'm really excited to, well, not technically announce, because it was announced last week, but another one of our clients, Walmart, has recently integrated real-world commerce into these environments. So if one thinks about it, when you've got these virtual worlds, Gucci Town, for example, in Roblox, that has now over 50 million visits, and you can absolutely spend time with these players, and they're spending 11 minutes in there, and you can start to understand what sort of brand love you're getting back from them. But when you can start to actually sell not just digital goods to them, but physical goods to them, you can start to see how the convergence of all of these different platforms are coming together, where this is one place where you work, socialize, play, and buy. And as I said before, I think the real-world commerce piece is a very, very important piece to the puzzle. Roblox is the first platform to do it. I think Zepeto are looking at doing it. I'm sure it will happen with Fortnite eventually, but this is a place where they want to be able to sell physical things. Paris Hilton, another customer that uses Geek, her team, you know, created an amazing experience, and this was part of the Hilton Honors Program, their rewards program. Slivingland, I believe it's called, is the experience they created in Roblox. It has a million plus visits. But what can they do with those visits? They actually integrated systems to be able to sign up those users to the Hilton Honors Program, 27,000 signups, which to those of you that understand about CRM acquisition, that's quite a lot. So that's how Geek kind of sees the environment. We see it as a shift in terms of attention, eyeballs move, they're moving to 3D communication. The data is telling us that actually people are spending more time inside these virtual worlds than they are inside traditional social media. So let's dig into the data and understand what the brand landscape is today. And if we think about the growth of the space, Gucci was the first brand to go into Roblox. There are several other virtual environments out there. But at the end of Q2 2023, there were 350 brands that had created over 500 experiences across all of the landscape. Now, that's quite a lot. But if you understand the growth, by the end of Q4, that turned into 700 brands with over 1,000 experiences. Why are there more experiences than the number of brands? Well, this is the same as traditional social media, where actually you're not just going to have an Instagram profile, you're going to have a TikTok profile, and you're going to have a YouTube profile. So in the same way, Gucci does not just have a Roblox experience, it has a Sepeto experience, it has a Super QQ experience, which is in China. Different platforms will have different demographics. So if we look at the record numbers of growth here, Roblox, this is at the end of Q4, I believe, this year. These are not accumulative. This is new brands entering. Remember, these activations that are happening inside these platforms, they are always on persistent activations. Fortnite as well is another user-generated content platform which is seeing massive growth in terms of brand activations in that space. Now, I think we're at a stage where there's always a, for those of you who have considered these environments, there's always a sort of, do I go into Fortnite? Do I go into Roblox? These different platforms have different capabilities. Roblox is the dominating king right now. It's the dominating king because of the user base. It's the dominating king because of the breadth of what you are able to do in that particular platform. Fortnite, aesthetically, is much better. But absolutely, Roblox has got to keep their eyes on them because we're starting to see massive growth from that particular platform. There's limitations of what you can do there, but the demographic is slightly older and the fidelity is a lot higher, which a lot of brands care about. I want to talk about the rise of integrations. This is something that we started to see really take off over the last couple of quarters, I would say. If we think about a brand that is in fashion or beauty or even automotive, it makes sense for them to have an Instagram profile and to have that profile, have a community follow that profile. For many other brands like FMCG, maybe an Instagram profile doesn't make much sense, but actually working with influencers that command a large audience does make sense and going on to their Instagram stories. So if I was to liken the sort of traditional social media example of integrations inside virtual worlds. In traditional social media, you would partner with Kim Kardashian to access her audience on her Instagram stories. It would be campaign-based. The same thing is happening inside virtual worlds now, where there are massive virtual worlds that have billions of visits, where brands are doing temporary integrations inside those environments. So this is something that we're seeing really, really grow. So much so that actually the number of integrations is almost equal to the number of brand experiences that are being created now. So if there's one kind of important point, I would look at that for those of you that are working with brands. If you're a brand, integrations is something to keep an eye on. I'm going to talk a little bit about the data that we see, and then I'll get on to Geek because I'm just telling you all about this stuff and you're probably thinking, why do you know it all? Using the data that we have, we can see massive growth rates and we can look into projections about where the industry is going to go. Below there, you'll see what we like to call champion brands who are entering these environments and all these different verticals. This is not just a space for fashion. Actually, for the first time this quarter, just coming, entertainment has taken over fashion in terms of brand activations inside virtual worlds. So fashion is due to rise at 54%. We've got automotive there. You can see the growth in media and entertainment, personal care and cosmetics. L'Oreal is making massive moves in this space. Leisure, travel and tourism also growing rapidly. Okay. One of the things I'd like to talk about for 2024 is I've spoken a lot about Fortnite. I've spoken a lot about Roblox. But what are the other platforms to keep an eye on? Well, Rec Room is very important because what Rec Room is a user-generated content platform in the same way Roblox is, but it's VR native. And I think there's been a lot of interesting hype around VR over the last couple of years, especially with Apple Vision Pro coming out. But one should look at those platforms very, very carefully if VR is going to be the future of the way people socialize and work together. Platforms like Rec Room are going to be very, very important. This goes the same for VR Chat. VR Chat, I believe, has 7 million monthly active users. Huge community in terms of time spent. Not many brands in there. So one of the things that you want to be able to do is you want to identify these platforms before any of these other brands identify them. I'm giving you the secrets right now. You can have a look at it. Zepeto. Zepeto is like the sort of, I suppose, if Roblox and TikTok got together and had a baby, that's basically what it would be. It's a massive social platform which is based in Southeast Asia, Japan, and South Korea. And very, very avatar focused. They have their own TikTok feed. They have virtual experiences. It's a platform that is considered third to Fortnite and Roblox when brands integrate. And then finally, Obsess and Imperia. These are platforms that allow you to create 3D e-commerce shops on site on your direct to consumer websites. These are really interesting. You know, I've got a bit of a controversial view on them because I feel they look beautiful and they're really fantastic. But, you know, if 3D websites on traditional 2D computers were the way to go, we would see Amazon immediately change and go to 3D technologies at the same time. But with the rise of Apple Vision Pro, the rise of Meta and more VR headsets, these sort of platforms are going to become more and more important when you're building your 3D virtual worlds inside VR. So those are the ones to watch for 2024. So I'm just going to close out on what is Geek. God, this is a very arrogant slide. It's just showing, or it's like showing baby pictures or something. You know, when I was speaking with Facebook back in 2018, and I go back to the story of them saying that they were looking at gaming, the problem was that people are now socializing inside video games. We own social. If we don't go in, we're going to get disintermediated. I said, that's really interesting. What are the issues? And they said, the problem is this is an incredibly fragmented space. And actually, it's very difficult to understand from a bird's eye perspective where my target audience is. You know, if we're talking about TV, you might need Nielsen or YouGov. For social media, there's Brandwatch. Geek, we want to be that single source of truth for this new communication vertical for these virtual environments. So what we've done is we've basically taken all the opportunities that are available to brands, taken publicly available data, and enrich that with our own technology so that any brand or agency can strategize and make data-led decisions in this space. I think that was a big mistake. Not a big mistake, it's kind of what happens at any hype cycle. There was a lot of businesses and brands rushing into virtual worlds during the pandemic, and they were not looking at the data. So they were going in and they were getting a pretty press and PR article, but when it came down to the actual metrics, either their audience didn't match because they didn't have the data, or no one went in because they went into an environment where there is no community. So we believe making data-led decisions in virtual worlds is just as important, if not more important, than in traditional communication verticals. Here's another slide. I suppose one of the questions we get asked is kind of, where do you get your data from? Yes, a lot of it is publicly available, but we do have private data partnerships as well, which I can't really talk about on the stage, but put your hand up if you're from Geek. Yeah, we've got people from Geek here, so you can go ask them and I'm sure they can reveal some secrets. I suppose that's how I'd like to close off. If I could leave you with one sort of statement, it's don't follow the hype. We've gone through a very, very strong period of brands entering the metaverse, and there's been a lot of press and PR about it, and it's been great. Don't believe the hype as well, because there's also sort of a metaverse winter and no one's going in. But actually, if you look at the data, you can see the massive growth and massive investment from brands in this space. Why is that happening? It's not happening because of press and PR. It's happening because they're looking at the data, they're comparing it to their traditional channels and social media and print TV and radio. And what they're getting back from these virtual worlds are far, far greater than what they're currently getting back from traditional media. So with that, thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @AdvertisingWeek and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcander, the audio conference solution.